I don't know whether to be happy that she's excited to go to Sunday school or I won't choose because she has told me to get away from time to time. Yeah, she tells a lot of people, get away, which is why she doesn't go out with Grandpa right now until she stops this, go get away from me stuff. I said, I don't want to be out with her. And she's like, no, get away from me. That won't go over well in this environment today. But she will grow out of it. She gave me a hug and a kiss the other day. I gave her a hug and she gave me a kiss. And I said, I love you. And she says, I love you. All right, I'm winning her over. Not weeks at a time. We'll just take every moment by moment right now. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, if you were here last week, and if you're not, I'm going to recap real quick, not going into the whole message. I started a message called Tree to Tree. Our story in that book begins with a tree, there's a tree in the middle, and ends with a tree. Again, you might want to read the end of Revelation. We are tied to these trees. The first one, Adam and Eve got us tied to it. It brought the curse. It brought law. It brought shame. It brought every sin imaginable to man. And really, in reality, what it did is it released man's imagination. Even God himself said in Genesis, I know now that the thoughts of man are continually evil. Our greatest technologies. We love GPS, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of like being, oh, hey, yeah. Okay, other than the fact that it can track me every step on my phone. I'm a little conspiracy theorist on that. But it's great. It can tell me where I'm going. And 500 feet merge to the right. Oh, outstanding. I will say there's a huge difference between Apple and Google. Yeah. Apple is awesome. But I got my first Apple phone. But what most people don't realize is GPS came out of war. It's part of the Star Wars Defense Initiative. Those from who were living in the 80s know what I'm talking about. All these satellites are sent up there. Reagan was the one who got this ball rolling so that we could protect the United States. The rest of the technology hasn't come up to par yet. We don't have lasers that can shoot that I'm aware of. They're working on stuff. I do know that. They're working on magnetic weapons. They're working on sound to just, I don't know, sound is a pretty powerful instrument. More than playing Welcome to the Jungle to Manuel Noriega in Panama, but it can blow things over, just a concussion itself. All that got released in the Garden of Eden. The nuclear bomb. Everything we have has a good side and an evil side. The good side is we actually have atomic energy. We also have nuclear weapons. There's enough nuclear weapons. This world, why? Why do we need so many? That's the imagination of mankind. And that all started with that first tree. But man got cut off from the second tree. There were two of those trees in the garden. Don't know how far apart they were. We just know they were in the midst. The one tree God said, stay away from it. The other tree God said, eat all you want. That's my kind of eating. I don't know about y'all. I've talked before, you know, I forget who I was talking to the other day, and they just like, no way. I said, man, when Golden Corral first was really getting its feet under, I said, I used to be able to do 7 plates and not put on a pound. People just looked at me and said, Art, where are you putting it? I don't know. That was 128 pounds. Oh, I do know where I was putting it. I ran about 70 miles a week. And so I was able to put all that on. And it was just, keep going back, keep going back, keep going back. Now it's like salad bar. I do the hot first, though. I do that. I'll go get my little piece of steak or my chicken. Yeah, I am really not hungry. But I know I'm making you guys hungry. But I can no longer do that. But in the garden, you could. I don't know, did every fruit have a different flavor? The garden, the tree of life in the book of Revelation has 12 fruits. Think about that. 12 fruits. And this tree is huge, FYI. It is not like the little weeping cherries we got out front. It's so big that it's on both sides of the river of life. And all the people can come and bask under its shade. By the way, there's no sun either. It's the glory of God. And so we lost that. We lost being able to go to that tree that would renew our body. It physically did something for us. The one tree brought death, the other one brought life, so that our body was renewed. They say that many of our organs renew, what, every 7 years or something like that? Your skin's renewing itself all the time. You were designed to keep renewing. Hair's supposed to grow back. Well, yeah. Yeah, I try not to look down in the mirror anymore. I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, look there. I got my little pompadour thing going back on again. Afraid I got an island about to happen, though. And so anyhow, our bodies are supposed to reproduce, and that's what that tree did. But when man partook of sin, God cut man off from that tree so that we would not live forever in sin. But the other tree, let's go there, Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Revelation time. You're naked. What gave it away? Nothing changed, did it? They got revelation. You know what I really wish? I wish people get the revelation of the Word of God like that. The real revelation of the Word. But we keep when people start getting revelation, we go back to legalism. Because they missed the real revelation that Paul was trying to get through to people. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God said to Adam, or called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Next verse, God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree?" God obviously knew. But some of the things that took place. First off, this is what happens particularly with sin. Sin is based all around the physical. How it makes us feel. We use our senses. If we do not get a buzz or a high, it's not worth it. Well, that didn't do enough, so we do more, right? We got to get drunker. Well, I didn't get a buzz, so I got to get drunk. That medicine didn't work, so I need more. And then you get addicted to it. Or you just started on drugs. Maybe to kill pain. An internal pain. Or maybe you like being right all the time. That's called self-righteousness. But you see, it's how it makes us feel. We still release dopamine. We still have all those things going on. So Eve hears, Obviously, Adam was in the neighborhood, so he heard. He heard her, the serpent, tell her, "You won't die. God knows you'll become wise." Stop and think about this. The two wisest beings ever, ever to exist. They put Solomon to shame. And they want to be wiser. They want to be smarter. They want to be like God. We'll get to that revelation in a minute. They processed it mentally. That's what you do when you think about something, right? You tell somebody, "I'm going to think about that. Let me ponder that. Let me sleep on that." You want to process something mentally. I mean, if you actually sat down and processed your mortgage, what? But you need a house. You got to have a place to sleep. So she processed it. They both processed it mentally. She took of it and she ate. Adam just sitting back here. I always figure kind of like Isaac Newton, you know, when he's sitting by the apple tree and just sitting there, leaned up against it. Well, she's still standing. She's not dead. So he took a bite. But the second he took a bite, remember, Adam was the covering of all mankind. Just as Jesus, who is called the second Adam, is the covering for all mankind. But when he took it, they were both instantly given revelation. "We're so wise. We're so smart. Why are we naked?" See, all it did was reveal that they were just like everything else. And that's what people need to start understanding. You are just like everybody else. "Oh, well, I don't have this in my life." No, but you do have this. Sin is sin. That's it. But they looked at each other. Okay, so, you know, I always grew up with the thought process that this was in the first week, you know, and that there weren't anybody else around. Okay, so your husband and wife, you're naked. That happens all the time. Right? Or it should. If you want a good relationship. They hid themselves from each other. And they made little disposable diapers. And then they hid themselves from God. Well, you already covered up. Why are you hiding everything else? Because the shame became a cloak to them. It engulfed them. They were no longer walking in the glory of the Lord. Do you ever notice how the Bible talks about angels and there's bright light? I think that's kind of what it might have been like in the garden, except, you know, maybe like we had shades on. But the glory of God was on us. And sin came in and the glory of God could no longer be on us. Lucifer was the bright and shining morning star until iniquity was found in him. He could no longer do that. So they hid. Not only did they cover themselves, but they hid in fear. They knew. See, revelation isn't always a great thing sometimes, is it? I was, what's the word, ecstatic until the day I learned who FICO was. Who's FICO and why are they taking all my money? What do you mean I have to give money back? I always thought it was an oxymoron for the military. Well, you got to pay taxes. But this is tax money. I'm paying taxes on tax money. Just because it's given to me, you know, at my whopping 75 cents an hour. Revelation sometimes isn't the greatest thing. There's that country song, "I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then." Sometimes you're better off not knowing. I want you to come clean. I want you to be brutally honest. No, you don't. I know a couple that they've talked about their past life just a little bit. And they said, we did things. And we both just decided we aren't talking about them. I forgive you. You forgive me. We belong to Jesus now. Let's go forward from here. We don't need to go back and stir this up. See, you don't need to bring up shame. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 3 says, then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Syria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. It was a shame. They were exposed and there was no denying anything. Now, there's, what scripture, 3:4:2, verse 2. Isaiah was wearing sackcloth for mourning. And then God said, take off your tunic and your sandals and be naked. And I thought it interesting as I was reading down, I like to go to my notes, I have a study Bible, and the study Bible said, the sackcloth, he wore the sackcloth. No, it says he was flat out naked, ladies and gentlemen. He was naked, and we would call him an embarrassment, wouldn't we? You're out of your ever-loving mind walking around naked. But it was a shame. And he did this for this word right here, that Egypt would be brought, would be taken captive. And as a sign of humiliation, their butts would be showed. I know people get a little offended, but it's right there. I just didn't want to finish the whole word. Their backsides would be shown. We always talk about people showing their backside, right? You ever heard that? Oh, just quit showing your butt. Quit showing your backside. They're embarrassed by you. They're ashamed of you. Because you're doing something that's stupid. I watch videos all the time of people doing stuff stupid. And I hurt for them. Now, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, he said, I gave my back. This is a prophecy about Jesus. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. They shamed him. They spit on him. And again, he was naked. Our Savior did that. To this day, many societies, they strip people like that of any clothing, of any dignity. We look at our clothing and say, well, look at that dignified, you know. Look at that. He's got a $15,000 suit. I personally think if you're paying $15,000 suit, I got a $300 one, I'll sell you, and you give me the change. How about that? And I don't even like paying that much for a suit. But I will say the last one I got was really nice. And it fits me good. But I will not pay $15,000 for a suit. Not happening. I will go buy my off-the-rack suit. Matter of fact, I had a tuxedo made for $400. Custom made. It's got my name signed in it and everything. Should have worn my dress blues, though. That's what I got married in. But Jesus did not hide from the shame. He took our shame, ladies and gentlemen. The shame that he experienced was what we were supposed to experience. But now, when we say, Jesus, forgive me. Fill me with your love. Help me to love others. He takes away that shame. He doesn't want you wearing the scarlet letter anymore. It's not who you are. You're now something else. You're a new creation. Don't let people, well, I remember you back in high school. Oh, what a tramp you were. You know what? That's not me. That's not who I am. You know, I made a lot of stupid decisions. But that's not who I am anymore. I'm different. I remember when my last 6 months there in Okinawa, my platoon sergeant asked me, he says, Corporal Waddell, aren't you a Christian? By the way, I was standing there with a whiskey in my hand. I said, yeah, but I'm backslidden. He knew. Now, he didn't serve God either. He got just as drunk as anybody else. But he knew I shouldn't have been. And it was to my shame. And I felt that shame when he called me on the carpet. I felt that shame when I was going to the bar at Gate 2 Street. And there's military people standing outside Gate 2 with tracts telling people about Jesus. I felt that shame because I knew. When you feel the shame of what you're doing and what you've done, that's good. It's called conviction. I've shared my stories. I only ran a little bit longer and I couldn't take it anymore. Because I had one thing. I didn't want to embarrass her. I didn't want her looking and saying, I didn't marry a drunk. I didn't marry this. She did, she just didn't know it at that point. I wanted to hide it. I eventually told her the whole story. But not so she could feel bad, but so that she would know I changed. I'm not that person. Habakkuk 2. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. Do you ever wonder why God made circumcision the sign of the covenant? I'm not trying to be gross here, folks. This is in your Bible. That is the most sensitive part to a man. A man will take a blow to the head to protect regions down below. Yeah, we will. You can hit me with a baseball bat in the head, but doggone it, I'm fighting, I'm protecting everything else. The jewels are important. We will protect that. To a man, that is the most precious thing. And that's why God had it circumcised. It was no longer protected. It was exposed. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be your glory. When I was reading through this, well, first off, drunkenness brings shame. There's no glory in getting drunk. I know some of you in here, I know who you are. Some of you may not have ever told me, but some of you have. You've got DUIs in your past. That's shame to you. And you quit drinking. Praise God. See, I remember living, not knowing if Dad was coming home. I remember that. That was one of my things. I said, I will never become like my grandfather's or my father was. I praise God my dad found Jesus. Because he was on a bad, bad road. But you see, it was shame. There's no glory in it. Noah. I had to think about Noah in this situation. First thing out that we read in the Bible, he made a sacrifice. And then he planted a vineyard. It came up, produced, he made wine, got drunk. And Ham just happened to be walking by, looked in and saw his dad, all glory to the heavens, and, "Hey guys, come and look! Dad's so drunk he's naked." He was totally exposed and totally vulnerable. See, that's another thing. When you're totally naked, you're vulnerable. You know, I've watched Gladiator movies before, you know, and they're just walking around, you know, with the short little skirt thingy they got on. And I'm like, I don't know. Personally, I think I'd like to have some longer breeches and protect the legs a little bit better, you know, but I guess if you're going to die, what's the point? You win. They might turn the lions out on you anyhow, just for sport. But they were always exposed. You look further back into like Greek history and such. They were usually fighting naked. Peter, it says, when Peter was out in the ship, he looked down and they said, "Hey, there's Jesus." Said he put his clothes on and then jumped into water. He probably standing on the ship in his skivvies. It was easier to work. But like if you're in combat, personally, I want more clothing. You know, now they got knee pads and, you know, they got all kinds of stuff on their body armor now. Might have saved a few kneecaps back in the day. But they fought naked. They were totally exposed. Do you ever wonder how, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, it was assumed that the Philistines were uncircumcised? But David said, "This uncircumcised Philistine." It's an assumption, isn't it? Or was it? Or was Goliath as exposed as anybody else? And David was pointing it out. Don't know. Well, there are people that will try to create a whole theory and doctrine on it. Does it matter? Absolutely not. We can assume he was uncircumcised. He was a Philistine. He wasn't a Jew. That's just all there is to that. He wasn't of the line of Ishmael. He wasn't of the line of Ishmael because they're circumcised as well. Because they were of Abraham, and Abraham had him circumcised. So he carried that on. By the way, back then, that was a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham's descendants. But he said, "I would turn your shame. I will turn your glory into shame, and that's going to be what you have to brag about. I got drunk. I got exposed." Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." What should have Ham done? He should have went in and covered his father up. Instead of saying, "Hey, look at my daddy. He's drunk off his rocker and naked." Well, to be honest with you, at that point, there were only 8 people. And we obviously know at least 2 of them heard it, because they went in and they covered themselves and they backed in to cover their father's nakedness. So everybody knew. There's some assumptions that he did more, but I don't think he did. It was just the fact that he was showing everybody how bad his father was. And just FYI, when I tell you things, I'm telling you what my father was. Okay? I'm not bragging on my father for that. I brag on my father that he accepted Jesus. That he has told countless people about Jesus. Okay? That's the bragging part. Luke 13. "Now he was teaching in," this is Jesus, "now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and she immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." You got to love how it splits it up sometimes. The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite." By the way, that's the world's favorite word for us. But it actually meant actor. It's a Greek word that means you're an actor. Back then, remember, women weren't in the theater. So a man, wait a minute, we got a bunch of hypocrites today, don't we? A man would dress up as a woman to play the female role in a play. Or they would play something else. I love it when actors actually think they're really that bad, they're that tough. Do you seriously think Rambo could go through Delta Force training? No. All these guys are cut. They got 8-pack abs and all this stuff, chest muscles out to here. They can't bend over and touch their toes. I've seen real Navy SEALs, ladies and gentlemen, and guess what? They aren't ripped. They're strong. But they're not hulking muscle men. They can't be. So what we see is this guy was getting called out by Jesus for pretending to be something. He said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he, I knew it, I pressed it too many times. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. What happened, ladies and gentlemen? They got exposed. Jesus just read their mail. He said, "You don't think that she is just like you, that she's deserving? Is she not better than your donkey? She's a descendant of Abraham. Should she not be loosed? Yet you'll loose your donkey to go give it water." Makes you think, doesn't it? Jesus exposed their hearts. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, "Therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer." See, ladies and gentlemen, way back here in Deuteronomy, God was more concerned about circumcising the heart, removing the things that were hiding. Honestly, circumcision on a man means absolutely nothing. It doesn't. But the reality is, cutting away the flesh over our heart, our attitudes towards people. You want blessed, you had better circumcise your heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, he said, "You do it." Yes. You know yourself better than I do. God will show you, but you got to do it. I don't want that anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. There comes a point you have to say, "I won't do it anymore." And that's what God was trying to get the people to do. To cut away the feelings. Oh, I like being drunk. I like the buzz. It relaxes me. Find your peace in God. Trust me, you don't need the buzz. And you can drive home. Imagine that. But the drugs, they just make me forget about my problems. For an hour or two, why do you think I drank? I was killing the pain of the anger that I had for just a couple hours. And a couple times I had to say, does anybody remember what I did? I remember getting clotheslined. You don't play football drunk, I can promise you that. But you don't need these outside stimulants. Well, sex makes me feel good, so I just got to go have sex, sex, sex. Listen, sin always feels good. God wants it between a husband and a wife for a reason. You make a connection with that person. And anything else, you have to intentionally sever. You know, Angela said something one time. Now, if you don't know, we were both virgins. Okay. But she said something about class reunion. I'm not going to try to make eye contact with anybody. I'm not trying to stir anything back up in your past. She said, I can go to my class reunions and know I never slept with any of them. They've never seen me naked except the girls in the locker room. That's it. Do you know what that did for her husband? He stood a little taller, a little prouder. Might have been proud of her regardless. Because her life belongs to God. I tell you that to help you understand. God wants us in these relationships. He doesn't want the outside influence. Who cares what swimsuit model looks good? You don't make enough. It ain't about what a guy looks like. Have you figured that out in Hollywood yet? It don't matter. Look at him. Seriously, look at Kevin Hart. Well, not Kevin Hart. He's a cheater. He really is. Kevin James, King of Queens, right? His wife's a model. Adam Sandler. It's about the money. Although those two, I think, actually fell in love because they liked each other. But all these people that keep going over and over to different relationships, one good-looking guy to this, and it's like, no, just stop it. You're trying to fill a void. First off, that you need to start with God to fill the void. Because she could never fill the God-shaped void in me, and vice versa. But I've also had to get honest with God. I've been honest with her. It hurts. I'm not saying circumcision is fun. There was a reason they did it on the eighth day. Everybody said, oh, it's because it's ceremonial, and the eight is that, no, 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 no. Let's just boil it down to medical. I know I got two science teachers. You know why? I make sure I got the right. Why the eighth day on a baby? Because in a male's life, vitamin K is the highest ever in his life on the eighth day. God knew this. God's a scientist. He's a doctor. He knew this. So they give babies a vitamin K shot if they're going to do it before then. Get religious all you want. When you get older, I've known some older guys that decided they thought they needed to do this. Yeah, it wasn't so easy on them. I mean, I had a pastor one time who did it. I'm like, dude, aren't you like ancient? I look back, he was probably only in his 50s then. But I had to go to his house. I think I was mowing their yard for him. And I went over there, and here he comes, the bathrobe on. I'm like, you've been hobbling around here for a week. What's the big deal? Found out later, oh, yeah, it's not as easy on a guy that age. Not enough painkillers to curtail that one. Circumcise your hearts. Clean your hearts. Clear. Cut it free and separate it. Revelation 3:18. This is the church of Laodicea. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Jesus is telling the Latter-day Church. This is part, if you're looking at it from one of the points of view, that people believe that the Church of Laodicea and Philadelphia are a type and shadow of the end-day churches. They'll either be so lackadaisical, they just won't. They aren't on fire for God. They don't really love God. They're just going through motions. Or the Church of Laodicea. They love. They do what they're supposed to be doing. They aren't going through the motions. When they say they love, they mean it. Laodicea, they just wanted people to think they were this. But Jesus told him, he said, I counsel you, buy from me white garments. Garments that are pure. By the way, he said, buy from me gold that is refined in the fire. Isaiah 55 says, tells him again to buy without money. What's he wanting, ladies and gentlemen? Come on, what's so valuable? What's the most valuable thing you cannot put a price on in this world? Us. You. There was a price. It was Jesus. So now he's telling us, I counsel you to buy from me. Come to me. Give me your life, and in exchange, I will give you the coverings that you need. That's why Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked. They only saw God's glory. That's what he's telling them. Again, I'm not saying everybody we go join a nudist colony. I'm saying you're not going to be wearing robes and robes in reality. You're going to be naked. Because there will be no shame. And when you look at your brother or sister, all you will see is the glory of God in their life. I remember the day when my own eyes started changing. My own physical eyes, you know, as a teenage boy, you know, your eyes are really starting to change. You're really starting to notice girls. I mean, I always noticed girls. I never thought they had cooties. Ever. That wasn't a problem with me in kindergarten and first grade, man. I was just, I'm going to set you with the girls. I'm like, awesome. That didn't stop anything. But I started noticing girls that got a little older. Your olfactory senses really start kicking in. Your eyes really start kicking in. Folks, I started seeing people through God's eyes, through the beauty that they are. I remember when that started happening. I can see God's light in them. I can see God's love. I can see the beauty in them. Guys, I'm probably not going to tell you you're good looking, okay? Just let's not cross those relationship lines. Like I told Johnny, we were joking around this morning. He said, well, where's my hug? I gave him a big old hug. I said, I do draw the line at kissing. And he agreed. Even though there are churches that have tried to bring that back, I don't know if I'd have a problem going to Italy or not if there's a welcome crew there. I don't know how to handle this. God wants us pure in our thoughts. Not looking at people and say, well, what can I get? Look, they've got money. How can I get some of that? Work. Go get a job. Pay your bills first. And if you're having a hard time paying your bills, sell what you can. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what Jesus just told the church? Buy from me. It means you got to give something up. Well, I've got a job. Yeah, you're giving up your time in exchange for whatever they think you're worth an hour. And if it's not enough, maybe you need to reevaluate what you think you're worth. We have got to understand, for righteousness to rule in our lives, there is a price. You can't always say what you think you need to say. Sometimes God's telling you to, I can't tell you how many times I was about to, and God said, zip, not a word. Other times he's just like, boop, get in there, boy. And then there's times he was like, and I went, oh, Lord, I regret that. Get me out of this, Jesus. What did I do? Oh, yeah, I know. There's enough of you shaking your head. Yep, you've been in that boat. But circumcising the heart is to cut away the flesh, the desires. Why? Why do you need to get drunk? Bible tells you not to. So why? You want to look cool? That's what it is. No, you look like a fool. You're no different than a drug addict. Sorry. I know I've got all kinds of them in here. There's a bunch of people that's had drug problems. Drugs was the only thing I didn't do. I got into pornography. Oh, you're a pervert! And you're not. Like Maggie had said the other day, he's everywhere. I see people's cars. I know them by their cars first. I don't eat McDonald's. I never go through there except to get my husband breakfast. Then why were you there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Oh, your husband needed breakfast. They quit serving that at 11. Yeah, I don't think so. You want to know why you're with your health? There it is. You can eat a little bit of McDonald's garbage. A little bit. It's addictive. By the way, that can become sin to you as well, especially after you've had the revelation. I had a cherry turnover yesterday. First one in probably 3 months from Arby's. They're awesome. I like them. But you got to stop at one. They are sweet. They are good. Okay, so maybe I'm getting a little hungry. You need to circumcise that heart. Going on that diet plan helped me to do that. I have yet to have a sweet tea. Cut it out. I'm adjusting to unsweet tea. It's an adjustment. It is an adjustment, let me tell you. And I drink so much water, and my doctor says, you need to drink more. I'm like, are you stinking kidding me? I'm already starting to feel like a fish. But I've had to cut that part. Regulate. Okay, I've eaten out. I'm done. I had my French fries. I'm done. Walk away from them. Don't get the supersized. Get the smalls if you're going to eat them. Get a small drink. And if you can't get over the sugar addiction yet, stay with the small. I actually like the light Minute Maid lemonade. It's actually pretty good. Changed my taste buds. But pop in general just tastes like death to me now, thanks to COVID. So honestly, I can say thank you, COVID. I remember, like, oh yeah, maybe I do want that Coke, man. Maybe I do want to just keep it. I'll go drink the used motor oil out in the barn. Let God help you through it. You're not going to get through it by yourself. It's His righteousness. You still have a flesh and blood body that has to be dealt with in the flesh. You can get free of addictions, but you still got to crucify that thing. I know another pastor that I knew, their daughter, she went into drug rehab. They were not allowed to have any caffeinated drinks or sugar. Why? Does anybody know? Because they're addictive. They were breaking addiction. She snuck out because it wasn't overly guarded. She snuck out, went down to the quick stop, got her a Mountain Dew. On her way back, they kicked her out. She didn't want to stop with the addictions. So you can't pick up one and replace it with another. I remember my dad was trying to quit smoking. He started chewing beech nut. I'm going to quit smoking. So he starts chewing beech nut. Okay. That lasted for, I don't know, 2 weeks. And he went back to smoking. But then I have yet to ask him, I don't know why. On my sister's 8th birthday, he laid down his cigarettes and never touched them again. He finally was able to conquer. But at that point, sister's 8th birthday would have been 1982. I was 12 at that point. He had smoked my entire life. And I've just never asked him. I just realized one day, because Mom had quit smoking, and all one day, neither one of them are smoking. But he found out you can't replace one addiction with another one. You can read your Bible. Get addicted to reading the Word. But don't try to replace it with, oh, I'm gonna find a near beer. Cut it out. Trust me, you will not control this thing. It's a monkey that gets on your back. And if you have it in your family lineage, the devil already knows it. I'd like to say, well, it doesn't run. I come from a long line of alcoholics on both sides. And I'm here to tell you, yes, it does. And I even swore, I'll never become an alcoholic. And it did. But by the way, I can also, I have mercy. I didn't have that mercy before. I didn't have compassion. I know what it's like to fight it. But that's your flesh wanting it. That's it. You don't need it. They have proved alcohol does nothing good for your body. Water. Our landlord in North Carolina come up one day smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. She told us all about Jesus when we first checked in. What church she went to. How long she been at that church. All of a sudden she's like, yeah, I don't normally drink beer and smoke cigarettes, but my doctor said I should drink from my bladder. You do know water does the same thing, right? Water goes through you just as quick. Drink enough. Once your body's hydrated, you will start expelling and cleaning out your bladder and kidneys. And she had a cough. That's why she was smoking a cigarette. What witch doctor are you going to? That's what they do. You weren't designed to smoke. Just saying. And I know you're... All right, let's stand. Before I create a hole that's not there. Listen, God's no respecter of persons. At some point, things do get away from you. I never meant for it to go there. You know, like the girl in the office, "You look good today." Or the guy in the office, "I like that perfume." Starts innocent. But then, "You look good today. Hey, you want to get lunch? Hey, you want to get dinner?" Now you're lying to your husband about where you're at. That's how it starts. Innocent. Because it's where I started. The Bible doesn't say I can't drink. It says I shouldn't. But I went to the legal route and said, it doesn't say I can't. So, started stealing beers from my buddies, and then I was no longer stealing beers from my buddies. I was buying the rounds. They were buying the rounds. And we were running for our lives on a couple occasions. So, starts off innocent. But marijuana just helps me relax. No, it don't. No, it don't. You need to learn how to control that to begin with. Because marijuana, well, if I feel this good on marijuana, maybe LSD. How about some PCP? Oh, I really need a boost. I need some cocaine. Yeah, and it all started because you needed just a little pick-me-up. Just wanted to relax. Lots of other ways to do it. Been doing it for 30 years now. Feel a lot better. Still did stupid stuff, but that was just me. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that not only did you deliver me, Father, but you can deliver others. Father, that you can help them overcome these things. I did it because I felt cool. I did it because I felt good. But I didn't need it. Because I needed to forgive, and I was already cool. So, Father, thank you. I thank you for that. But I pray, Father, for those who may be struggling, who want to battle it, whatever it may be, Father, whether it's sugar, whether it's prescriptions, whether it is alcohol, Father. Father, when they say, "I'm done," then you will help them. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that even back in Deuteronomy, you told us to circumcise our hearts, to cut away and reveal what is there so that you could heal it. Father, whether it's our self-righteousness, whether we bury ourselves in knowledge, whether we bury ourselves in poetry, or whatever it is we bury ourselves in, work. Father, none of that heals the wound. Lord, move in their lives. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for these people. Lord, I know their hearts are to serve you. I know their hearts are to make you proud. That when they cross over and they stand before you, they will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." Move in their lives today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.